There's a lot of praise for show. You know, some of these religious television programs remind me of Jerry Springer. They got the cheerleader off the camera saying, applaud. Now's the time to say, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Yeah, I'll watch all this junk. So do you. Remind me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hands up, hands up, hands up. So we can get cameras on people worshiping God when it ought to be as intimate as the marriage act. And as Paul makes clear to the Corinthians, there are things that are done among the saints, not for the world to look on that they don't understand. I hate it when I see people genuinely broken up and worshiping God and then exploited by a camera crew for the exaltation of the TV evangelists rather than for God to be boasted of, to be worshipped on bended knee, to be adored with extended hands. Now, you'll have notes in your Bible on Psalm 42, because in the excursion in faith, I went through these, and particularly the 42nd, wonderful chapters. Now, we look at it at another facet of the diamond as an illustration of proper praise, the word being yada. How does it open? As the heart panteth. The New International Version is quite right. They translate it longeth. As the heart longeth after the water brooks, so longeth my soul. You know what word is being used there? You already know this word. You remember this word? Nefesh. Remember that? Nefesh, the life, Leviticus, the life of the nefesh is in the blood, and the long series of messages on the benefits of Christ's death to those who fade in the blood of Him, and how the Holy Spirit in His bloodstream enabled Him in every part of His being, though He came in the likeness of sinning flesh, yet you knew no sin. That infusion of the Spirit at conception time, which is the logical reason for the virgin birth, that enabled Him to counteract the drag of degenerated Adamic flesh that we have and conquer sin, and which in His body accompanied Him to the cross and in our place died, and that same blood in His resurrected, immortalized body to the resurrected throne of God to become the hilasterion, nephesh. Nobody understands really what it is, because through the Greek translation using psyche, it became soul. Life is the better translation. Life, nephesh. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my life. Scratch out soul and put life. After thee, O God, nephesh. My nephesh, my life, thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Brother John, pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, as has been pointed out by many who preach on this verse, wrote a book, Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cures. Became a bestseller, and there's only one explanation, as Boyce has pointed out. There's got to be a lot of spiritual depression running around for a book like that to be a bestseller. I want you to come into the frame today so the message can reach where you live. You ever been here? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? Now, break through the poetry and come where you live. The depression, whatever its cause in your case or mine, and the tears flow. And he says the tears themselves are saying, where is thy God? Now, we'll go on in this chapter, and it's going to talk about enemies. Enemies that attack him. Enemies that challenge him. Enemies that say to him, because he's not in the same spiritual performance place that he remembers, as we go into the next verses, that he once was. And enemies mock him. Come out of the Old Testament, where the Bible was the geography of the promised land, and the names like Mahanaim would tell you what happened to Jacob, and you would go there like we go to a Bible verse to get strength. And where the Canaanites and the enemies were opposition to the faith that was required to take the promised land, to the reality of our spiritual battle. Our enemies are not, they're all around the world, but that's not the real enemies of the Christian. They just are subjects of the real enemy. Real enemy, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against Archos, territorial rulers in the hierarchy of Satan, Exousias, functional activity intruders, Cosmokratoros, world rulers of this darkness, like the Prince of Persia, that Gabriel and Michael together had to conquer. And spiritual, pneumaticus. Same word as Holy Spirit, you have to put an adjective on it. Spiritual hosts of evil near about us. Let the devil get you down for whatever reason. Nobody can quote scripture erroneously and try to sound more spiritual than the devil. You've heard me when I preached through Psalm 84. If the devil can play the blame game, he'll try to make a martyr's hero out of you. Well, I caused this on myself, and you'll camp out in the valley of weeping. Or if you can't see where you're to blame, you'll suddenly become the questioner of God's fairness and say, how could this be just treatment? The enemy of the life, the nephesh, are these spiritual forces. The attack in the night. The attack when depression comes. The attack when they get you down. And they say what some of you probably said to yourself within the last week or month. Where is my God? Where is he? Let this happen to me. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Maybe some out here listening to me on television, but there'll be some here too, that remember when they were more for God than they are now. You see, the writer of this is a Korahite. Korah, remember, led a rebellion against Moses, and the earth swallowed him up. But his sons were spared, which is proof that bad fathers don't necessarily always produce bad sons. And the Korahites, descendants of Korah, apparently with a vestigial memory of their father's fate, they pressed close to God. They ministered to the Lord. They were in charge of the music in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. They were the songwriters. They were the band, the unband. They led the singing. Somehow this Korahite is writing this song in the spirit, or this psalm, and it's his song, in the spirit of depression. And the suggestion is because of a viewpoint that's sort of elusively referred to. He was on the other side of Jordan, on some high place where he could look back and see the place where Jerusalem was, where he used to lead the singing. And he remembers better times with the Lord, or better times, whatever. We all have those ups and downs. Not like it used to be. I remember that. Oh my God, my life is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, which is apparently where he was, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep. I'm sure he didn't look like a spiritual praise leader and song leader. But there was still within him that which you ought to be oh so grateful for and spontaneously burst forth in hallelujah and on bended knee adore him and with extended arms worship that God put in you the capacity to respond to him. And far away from what had been better for him, deep calleth unto deep. I've told you 100 times, you haven't committed the unpardonable sin if you still want to come. Not from an intellectual basis that just in case there's a hell, I want to miss it. But there's still some tug. You want to be what God wants you to be. Backsliders want to be back. No man cometh to the Father save the Spirit drawing. And as long as the drawing is there, I don't care what you've done. Deep calleth unto deep. He exhibits that. Pretty sad song. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, let me make it simple. Even thinking of you, there's still something in me that responds to your deep. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me and passed, but I still want to ride the wave. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, and when I preached on this, the word for rock is Selah, which is the smitten riven rock, the type of the rock that paid the price for us, the choice of words, not Suri, but Selah, the smitten rock. Why hast thou forgotten me down into the depression? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Stay where I was earlier, the devil, these forces of evil around us. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. They say daily unto me, where's thy God? The mess I'm in. I still hunger. What am I to do? Boom. Sudden change. Why art thou cast down, O my life, nephesh? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God and in the excursion and faith I gave you that word for hope. Milah. Almost the same as halal. Milah. It is waiting expectantly. Waiting expectantly. I will not stay in this depression. I will turn myself around. Why are you cast down? I will wait expectantly for God. And here's the message on praise. For I shall yet praise Him. For I shall yet praise Him. The word, the root word, the derivative of it, yada. I will yet, in my cast down condition, I will yet extend my hands in worship. Not some ritual of meaningless group behavior. I will extend my hand in adoration and worship, for I shall yet extend my hand in praise to Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The Masoretic text is the basis of this translation, and it's just flat wrong. The Septuagint, the Syriac, other manuscripts have it match the next verses, which are down in the... Oh, not that one's okay. It's the first one. For I will yet praise Him. I skipped over the fifth verse because it's saying the same thing as the 11th verse. But the fifth verse says, I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Well, that's wonderful. Praise Him because of the help of His face is what it says in the Hebrew. But now, His face will turn toward me as I extend hands and praise Him. That's fine. But the other manuscripts make all three verses match, and I'm going to skip now because the 11th says the same thing in the 5th verse of the 43rd chapter. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope, wait expectantly in God, for I shall yet yada Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. As I said, the Septuagint, Syriac, other manuscripts make all three verses match, so that you're not saying the help of His countenance. That's true. But this poor, beaten-down person says the same thing three times. I will hope in God. Wait expectantly. I will yet yada Him. My Savior, the New International Version has it, because the word is Yeshua. You've seen this word before many times. I'm going to find some space here. The help, it's the noun form, but it means literally the Savior. I will yet extend my hands to Him, the Savior of me, translated help in one case and health in another case in the King James. In the original, in every case, it's the same word for the name of Jesus, Yeshua, helper, Joshua. God is my Yeshua, my helper. I will hope, wait expectantly, in spite of my circumstance, I will wait expectantly, I will extend my hands in yada, adoration, because I will yet, no matter what my circumstances, I will again, is another translation, extend my hands in adoration to my Savior, Yeshua, and my God, Eli. I will extend my hands in worship and adoration to my Savior, which is still a fact, before I got in depression, while I'm in depression, and when I will come out of it. And the enemies around me that say, where is your God? Stick around a while. I extend my hands, waiting expectantly. For He is my Savior and my God, and He will see me through. That is willpower praise. And that's what I want you to understand. Hallelujah is spontaneous outpouring of worship. Halal. Baraka. On bended knee, adoring. Yada. I will do it and offer the sacrifice of praise with arms extended to my, and every one of you can say this, my Savior, deep still calling unto deep, and my God. That's my message.